Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast on the 21st of March, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller here today on the news, including a legislative update from Indiana Farm Bureau's Randy Crone and how McDonald's of Indiana delivers Indiana-grown ingredients. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin details moisture, including snow, and a brief return to warmer temperatures. And the Wednesday nearby corn futures were higher yesterday, while beans and wheat went back on the defensive. We'll have the numbers and Steve Erdman market analysis on the Hat Thursday podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Check them out online, ffbt.com.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Pushing your state lawmakers to pass legislation supportive of Indiana's farmers. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by McDonald's of Indiana, proudly supporting local farmers. The Golden Arches source nearly 6 million pounds of pork, 1.8 million gallons of milk, and more, all from right here in Indiana. While your state lawmakers are working through this legislative session at the Indiana State House, your ag leaders are working to get some key bills passed and signed into law. Eric Pfeiffer joins us now from downtown Indianapolis.
CJ, we're just past the halfway point here at the Indiana State House for this legislative session, and we're here at the Indiana Farm Bureau Legislative Breakfast. I'm with Farm Bureau President Randy Crone. And Randy, your priorities this session, one of them I know, property tax relief for farmers. Where are we on this?
It's a long ways till we get to the finish line, but there's some good things out there, but if we get them across the finish line, it's going to depend on our members doing outreach and talking to legislators and telling their story. I was at a meeting last night. Farmers stood up and told me his property taxes went up 26% last year, and I said, you need to be telling that to legislators. So we're working on it. Our staff, I mean, they're very devoted. They're doing a great job. But it's going to take all of us. There are some proposals out there that can do some good, but it can change a lot. 5 minutes here in the state house is an eternity.
Water quantity, something that we never thought we'd have to talk about here in Indiana, but it's certainly come to light here in recent years. Another priority for Indiana Farm Bureau, probably not a silver bullet, but you've got a bill that's moved through the Senate. It's in the House now. Give us an update.
It's moving. I'm cautiously optimistic on that one. I think we'll get it across the finish line, but what it will do is give some protections to agriculture, because it's not right for some industry or a data center to move in and consume a lot of water and then run your well dry. And think about if you got a livestock barn there and no water for a few days, you know, you've got no livestock. So we need protections. I think it's just common sense, and we're working on it again. We need our members to engage.
Senate Bill 28, call your legislators, stop here at the State House. You're right, we need them down here.
I would encourage them strongly to come, because if we're going to get positive outcomes, we need members, we need farmers here talking the issues.
We're here at the Indiana State House, CJ, and again, we need more folks down here talking through this. The Indiana Farm Bureau Legislative Breakfast, a huge success, a lot of members here. A lot of legislators here as well.
Eric Pfeiffer reporting from the Indiana State House as we continue our celebration of National Ag Week with McDonald's of Indiana. Michael Brooks is the owner-operator of three McDonald's restaurants in the Lafayette area, and he says McDonald's has a long-standing commitment to sourcing ingredients from local farmers.
We realize that our customers want the freshest ingredients that we can give them, and the only way to do that is to get it from the closest source. And we just have a lot of great partners with Indiana State Poultry Association, the American Dairy Association, the Indiana Pork Producers Association, and many more, that we're able to get high quality fresh ingredients to our customers quickly.
In fact, the McDonald's system serves up over 5.9 million pounds of pork sourced from Indiana pork producers.
Yeah, we purchased about $400 million for the supply chain alone. And, you know, like you said, almost 6 million pounds of pork, almost 2 million gallons of milk, and almost 1.5 dozen eggs. So it's a substantial amount that we get from local farmers here.
Read more about how McDonald's of Indiana shows its support for Indiana's farmers and ag suppliers at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Here's what's going on as we take a look at action to move through your Thursday. The biggest part of our frontal boundary that brought moisture has already been done here this morning, coming through last night. It was in the warm sector, most of it rain. What we're stuck with here today is colder air coming in from the north, and we're not quite done with moisture yet. There's a secondary wraparound batch that's going to be coming through in this cold sector. That means we have to watch out for sloppy, wet snowflake action in the northern third of Indiana. I don't think it's a big accumulation story, but wet snowflakes can be seen pretty easily. I do believe we clear out as we move through the overnight tonight into early tomorrow morning, and we should see warmer temperatures try and move in for Friday, particularly midday and afternoon. They are not going to stay. As a matter of fact, cold air starts to develop again after midnight or near midnight Friday night, and that's also when we see some clouds coming in with a little bit of sloppy, wet snowflake action here or there. Flurries is all I'm going to say it is, but there is some moisture around. That gets done early on Saturday. I otherwise think we're just looking at clouds and cold air for Saturday. Sunday is interesting. We've got a frontal boundary coming in from the west midday and afternoon. Rain, I think we have to watch for here from midday on through sunset on Sunday, and then overnight Sunday night into Monday, probably a little bit of on again, off again, sloppy, wet snowflake action. However, this system for Sunday and Monday is splitting into two pieces. You're going to have a piece that wants to move through the Great Lakes to our north, and you have a piece that wants to move through the Deep South to our south. We may end up being in that middle slot where we only see that moisture on Sunday, and the overnight Sunday night Monday time frame, we escape. We'll see. It's too early to make that call in total right now, but that's what I'm edging toward currently. Now, either way, if we miss the moisture or we get it, the main story for the rest of next week is cold air. It sits here. Now, there's plenty of warm air to the west, and that warm air versus cold air battle will trigger several rounds of moisture that we're going to have to deal with off and on through the week, but we are solidly in the cold sector. A lot of cold air, a lot of cloud cover through the week next week. Just get used to it. I can say by the time we get to the end of the week, Saturday the 29th, Sunday the 30th, we do see warmer air finally working its way in here, but as it does so, there are several strong rain-making systems that come through as we flip the calendar from March into April. So gear up for a very wet finish to the month of March. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
From the Farm Bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Front month corn higher, but beans and wheat down. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'll have final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis, which I picked up from Steve Erdman of EFG Group in Chicago. I spoke with Steve at the end of the session. Once again, a quiet session, not a whole lot of movement in corn, beans, and wheat, which do work both sides of unchanged, but finish mostly lower, with the exception of the nearby corn futures contract. Steve, a little bit of a bump in corn. Why so versus the other markets?
Well, Andy, I think the corn market is still very much responsive to demand. Demand has been unusually strong this growing season. I think everybody's been focused on supply. And at some point, you got to make the transition from the supply focus to demand focus. And I really think the trade has been slow to do that. If you look at a corn spread chart, we rallied from December into January, probably. Well, I can tell you, I'm looking at the July Dece right now. It rallied from about 11 over to more than 40 over. We hung out up there for the month of Jan and Feb, trading from 30 to 40 over, and then we just broke in the last probably 3 weeks back down to 11, 11 and a half over. And today was the first day the market shown some residual strength again, and we rallied 3 or 4 cents on just the corn spread. So again, I think that's a reflection of demand. Basis levels have been relatively sloppy, as we've seen a tremendous amount of corn move from the end of December into February, as we had that rally in the market. The guys that did pay the in charge and saw the corn market rallying for them, I think they were very sensitive to that, and smartly so. And so typically the producer wants to get rid of his inventory before he gets into the new crop in the new year. We're hearing, even with the moisture we've gotten here over this past weekend, we're hearing a lot of anhydrous going on. And I'm hearing reports there's a lot of anhydrous going on corn ground, on old corn stalks. So I think the trade and the producer needs to be very sensitive about what we're going to see on the March 31st planting intentions report. We saw another guesstimate come out from the S&P yesterday. I think they were suggesting 94.2 million acres. And that, to me, is going to be the big deal, because the cotton market's been in the toilet. The bean market has been spinning its wheels here. And the wheat market hasn't been much help here until recently. So I think the attitude is we may see, somewhere even north of 94 or 95 million planted acres in the USDA report when it comes out on the 31st. And I think that's kind of why we're in the doldrums right now. The market doesn't have a tremendous amount of volatility or volume. And I think it's primarily because people are waiting to confirm those planted acreage numbers.
Soybeans and wheat having some problems gaining some ground. Not much of a story there other than wheat, with conditions out west helping the market earlier in the week.
I think it's conditions. I think over the weekend when Russia hit the Ukrainian port, and I think 4 people died and they damaged some of their export facilities, I think that had something to do with it. I think Russia is saying their crop is shrinking a little bit as they go through time, so they've lowered their production estimate. I think all of these things added to some of the relative strength of wheat. But if you look at wheat prices today, yesterday, July, Kansas City, for example, traded up to 6.28¾. We traded down to 6.06¼ today. I mean, that's how flaky the wheat market is. I am not a wheat market bull. I've read some different newsletters that are trying to make a case for the technical rally potential of wheat. I just don't buy into it, because we're still 35% to 40% stocks to usage. We have way too much wheat in the U.S., and we need to discourage people from planting wheat. And I think we've done that finally this year, especially with the spring wheat crop. If you talk to the guys up in the Northern Plains, they're dry, and the profitability of spring wheat is just not there, and they're getting kind of tired of it. Of trying to make it work. So they're doing alternatives, whether it's sugar beets or edible beans or sunflowers, whatever else they can plant. That's what they're contemplating right now because of the profitability that they're looking at. So, I mean, that's, again, in the same breath, that's what you're looking at in the corn and bean ratio too. The corn market, there's guys that can make money at $4.50 December corn. We're right at $4.51 and a half. But the bean markets, you need something more like a 1150 to come anywhere close to the same kind of per acre profitability. So I still think the biggest concern we should have right now is a potential for a bigger bump in planted acres for corn. It could be a tough road to hoe if it's goofy and we get up to 96 or 97 million acres. I'm not sure that'll be the case, but you know, we got to be on guard now, especially with all the tariff talk floating around. It's a big deal.
Steve Erdman, EFG Group in Chicago, on the Hat Wednesday market review, up on the May and July corn contracts. May goes to 462, 3 1/4 higher. July up a penny and a quarter, 469 1/4. Down 2 on September, down 2 3/4. Dece corn, 451 1/2. May beans, 4 1/2 lower at 1008 1/4. July ends a nickel down, 1021 1/2. And November, 5 1/2 lower, 1010 even. May wheat, 563 1/2, a penny and a half lower. July, 580, that was down 2 cents. Meats went mixed. April live cattle, 206.82, up $1.45. April lean hogs down $2.02, 85.57. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.